This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hour number three, off and running, underway on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We'll take you until 4 o'clock, Craig Hoffman at that point. Thanks to JP from the Junkies for joining us. I'm looking out at JP and B. Mitch. I invited them in. I said, I don't want to ask, but I said, if you guys are bored and you want to come and hang out, I'd be more than happy to chat it up because I like them. But I don't know if they're going to stop by or not. I don't know if they thought I was being serious or not, but I like my colleagues. I like my friends at work. I do. We mentioned the Saquon Barkley contract extension. So, AMAC, you found this from SpotTrack. Some people call it SpoTrack. I've always called it SpotTrack. I don't know what the right way is. I wish there was like a phonetical pronunciation for it, but I'm not sure. Everybody kind of knows, though, it's one of the two major sports salary cap sites, and they do more than just football. Over the Cap just does football. Where SpotTrack, SpoTrack, whatever, does everything. But they brought up a very wise point. The Eagles extend players a year before we all think they should. A, it keeps their cap fluid and controllable. B, it rewards players with upfront cash. C, it is noticed by every agent and player throughout the league. It's no accident that this contract was announced a week before free agency, SpotTrack points out. You know, look, I'm a huge fan of doing the contract extension thing, like for Terry. And same thing for Sam Cosmi last year, and it didn't work out this way. But it worked out. I'm a big fan of doing the contract extension, not only a year left to go on the contract, but more importantly, doing it before the league year begins. Because what I mentioned, now this year is a little bit different, right? With T. Higgins franchised, there isn't that other big, big name that's going to get a massive contract that's going to reset the market that's a free agent. But you know who is going to get a contract that's going to reset the market? And that is Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Okay? Period. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is going to get a contract that is going to be right in line with Justin Jefferson. Okay? So whether it's $145 million in total value to JJ's $140 million in total value, whether it's $35.5 per year compared to JJ's $35 straight up, whether it's total guarantee of $112 million versus JJ's $110, it's going to be right in line with that. And it's going to supersede at least one, if not two or more, of those components. But that's the only one that I can think of that's ever going to, or that not ever, that's going to rise to a point. Like Puka Nacua is not eligible for one yet. He's only through year two. He's got to wait another year. But right now, I mean, I don't think T. Higgins is getting a long-term deal in Cincinnati. I've never thought that. I was surprised that they keep tagging him, but not going to happen, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen. But we know Ja'Marr Chase is going to. So to me, I would be angling to get Terry done if I could, right? If you look at the average per year component, right, Amon-Ra St. Brown makes just over $30 million per year. A.J. Brown makes $32 million per year. Brandon Ayuk, $30 million per year. So, like, you got to give Terry McLaurin at least Brandon Ayuk money. Tyreek Hill, $30 million a year. Amon-Ra St. Brown, $30.02 million per year. 02, not 30.2, 02. To me, you got to give Terry at least $30.5 million per year. But if you do it now, you can say, hey, man, we got you. You're not Justin Jefferson. Depending on who you talk to, I mean, to be fair, is he CeeDee Lamb? I don't think he's quite as good as CeeDee Lamb. Maybe some others would disagree. Is he as good as A.J. Brown? I think the answer to that is no. I mean, Terry had a breakout year last year. Before that, he had 4 years in which he averaged 4.5 touchdowns a year. Each of those 4 years. He had a monster year last year. It's time for him to get paid. But remember, Terry McLaurin is going to be what, 31? If it's a 3 or 4 year extension to the 1 year he's got remaining, you're going to be 31 when the new deal starts. You know, he's kept himself in great shape. I mean, he's a great locker room guy. He's, you know, I mean, the kind of guy, you know, you would want your daughter to marry, you know, all that. I mean, but what you don't want to do, ideally, no offense to Terry, is you don't want to pay him $33 million a year because Ja'Marr Chase's deal got done at 36 or 37. I mean, who are we kidding here? If you could save $1 million or $1.5 million per year, do it. It all counts because it's not just 1 year. I know it's an average. I know it's not the cap number. But if you can overall save $1.5 million per year by doing it now, and it takes two sides to tango, by doing it now as opposed to in August or in October or whenever or even at the end of next year. I mean, because at the end of next year, if the offense is somewhat similar and Jaden stays healthy and Terry is healthy, right? Isn't it possible that Terry could have another 12? I mean, he had more than this, but isn't it possible Terry could have a 12-touchdown, 1,200-yard-per-year season, and now he's going to cost you $40 million per year or $39 million per year? Do it now before the market gets elevated even more. And again, there's only one guy that, unless I'm forgetting somebody, that can elevate to that level. But remember, it's not topping Ja'Marr Chase. It's not topping Justin Jefferson. It's the trickle-down, what did Ronald Reagan used to call it? Trickle-downonomics or something like that? Trickle-down economics? I forget what it was. But you get my point, is the market gets set, or the market is what it is. And while not everybody is going to top everybody, some guys will. Ja'Marr Chase should and will probably top Justin Jefferson. And certainly he will CeeDee Lamb and A.J. Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown, whatever. But it's if he sets the market at $36 million per year, did that just raise Terry's ask from 30.5 to 31.5 or 32?
Yeah.
You see where I'm getting at?
Yeah, I think you made a great point about...
I make a lot of them, just nobody listens.
Yeah, you made a great point there with the Eagles do, because they signed Jalen Hurts probably a year or two before they should have, or people say they should have. They signed him for 50, and then you look on the opposite side of that with Dallas, who waits to the last minute, and they end up paying people like Dak $60 million a year. So definitely you want to get in there early, especially before the Ja'Marr Chases get paid. And then, you know, like you said, you save a couple of million dollars. Because
Now here's the thing. You could be wrong, right? Yeah, I mean, just like any deal, you could be wrong by signing a guy too early and then he gets a rash of injuries or he falls off or whatever. But you could be wrong with doing what Dallas did with Dak Prescott. You could be wrong doing what Miami did with Tua Tagovailoa. Like, you could be wrong with Jacksonville, and it appears they're wrong. with Trevor Lawrence. You could be wrong. Like, the Rams just brought back Matthew Stafford. What happens if Matthew Stafford, you know, all of a sudden develops arthritis in his shoulder or whatever, and now he doesn't have the zip on his fastball, right? Well, you just paid him top of the market. I mean, we don't have the exact numbers, but you just paid him, you know, $50 million plus per year, presumably, and now he's hurt. I mean, obviously, teams make mistakes, and guys get hurt, and guys don't repeat after repeat after repeat. I get that. But, again, to your point, by Dallas waiting as long as they did, they paid Dak $60 million per year, AMAC, which was $5 million per year higher than Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, and Trevor Lawrence, and almost $7 million per year more than Tua. And Jared Goff.
Now, if they would have.
And Justin Herbert.
Now, if they would have paid him around the time when all of those quarterbacks get paid, how much lower would that number be, you know?
Right. Well, like to your point, like if they would have paid him before Jordan Love's contract, Trevor Lawrence's contract, and Tua's contract were done last summer. They were all done last summer. If they would have paid. If that would have been the case, could they have paid Dak $55 million per year? Which is what those guys got. So even higher than what those guys initially got. But again, their floor got raised because of various other factors. They set the market, and then Dallas comes in and says, well, we can't lose Dak. Where else do we go? We got to pay $40 million worth of dead cap money if we don't do a contract extension. Boom. We're going to pay him $60 million a year. You know, again, when Jaden Daniels 2 years from now, assuming that Jaden Daniels is still healthy, still rocking and rolling, still Jaden Daniels, like, don't wait until after year five to do Jaden Daniels. Do what the Eagles just did, which is Saquon was 2 years away, right, from being a free agent. He signed a three-year deal with the Eagles,
yeah,
right?
He just got signed, like, last offseason before he went there.
Right. So now you do an extension, which presumably, if they didn't rip up the last 2 years of the deal, presumably it's now 4 years on paper, right, an extension. But they didn't wait until another year from now. They did it now. And that was the tweet from SpotTrack, which was the point, is don't wait until a year remaining – when, again, the contract could have risen or could rise because of other deals that are done and the comparables and all of that stuff. See, people don't think about this stuff. And Paulie goes, oh, you bitch about, yeah, you, he just got traded 2 days ago. You're all worried. That's where I'm really good, man. I mean, you don't have to like what I say. You don't have to agree with what I say. There is nobody like me when it comes to thinking ahead of all the potential pitfalls. Nobody. I promise you. And I'm not patting myself on the back. Oh, yeah, I'm patting myself on the back. But I promise you, you think I'm just being a worrywart, a negative Nancy, whatever. No, 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 no. I'm actually thinking, hey, wait a second. Deebo Samuel's already requested a trade twice in his career. Wouldn't it be feasible for him to do it a third time if he doesn't get a contract extension by mid-October, by late October? Yeah, of course it's feasible. He's already done it twice. Why wouldn't he do it again? How is that me being nasty or negative? That's just me being realistic, man. That's my job, is to think of all the angles that could potentially come up. Well, what happens if Deebo only plays in 9 games? Well, boy, if they don't sign Noah Brown back, and if they let Diami Brown back, but did sign, say, Olamide Zaccheaus and Jamison Crowder, and one of those guys is injured, and the other guy that they sign, and Luke McCaffrey hasn't taken that next step, well, now they could be really thin at wide receiver. My point being is that's what we do here. It's not just to put our pom-poms on and think nothing's going to go wrong and everything's great. That's not what we do. What we do is we think about, okay, how would they handle or what potential concern could there be? And again, it's the same thing when it comes to a contract extension for Terry, which is how we got into this. After the contract extension for Saquon, it's, okay, you're not doing it 2 years out. You're doing it 1 year out. But do it now. Do it in March as opposed to doing it in August when the market has been reset and elevated and the floor has risen. That's the point. There are ways to do this. Now, it takes two to tango. I don't know what Terry's point, philosophy on this is. But I would have to guess, with the way Terry kind of handled the last time, where he did leave the facility, and he didn't show up to practices, like off-season practices, not training camp. It's legit. It's fair. It's fair. Now sometimes you just legitimately don't know. Like last year, I would not have given Terry a long-term lucrative contract extension. I would have said, hey, man, I need to see you in this offense, in with this quarterback, what have you. Sometimes you know that, and it's worth the risk to not do that. But in Philadelphia's case, even though there's a diminishing return on running backs, with 2 years left to go on Saquon's deal, they said, hey, man, you were so much better than we even thought you would be. We want to take care of you. And instead of paying you $12 million a year, or $13 million a year, we'd like to reward you and then some. So this way, you're not disgruntled. Nobody's going to top that money. You're the best in the league. We are awesome because of you, largely because of you and others, but largely because of you. We want you to not only make top of the market money, but we want you to also benefit other running backs, one. Two, we want to show you our appreciation. We don't win a Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley. We don't come close. So they took care of him aggressively. In advance, far in advance. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So that's the contract extension story. When we return, what else can the Commanders do at receiver that's easy and attainable? Answer some of that next on the Team 980. If you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 325, Team 980 on a Tuesday afternoon. Heading down the home stretch. Craig Hoffman coming up at 4 o'clock. He'll take you home. Don't forget, later on tonight here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, you have, Georgetown basketball against Villanova, 7:45, the pregame with Rich Fotkin from Capital One Arena. Let's get, before we get to the rest of the situation there at wide receiver, let's get to Jonesy. I've kept him on hold far too long. Jonesy, how are you? Sorry about the wait. What's going on?
Hey, man, look, we ain't got WrestleMania on. We good to go, man. So, it's good. How you doing today?
I'm okay, Jones. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing just fine, just fine. Hey, listen, I just want to say this. I'm good with Debo. You know, Terry, as far as it goes with his concept, I believe, yeah, you need to get in with that right now. The Go-Go ambassador used to sit on the station here. Al Goldie used to say, today's overpay is tomorrow's bargain. So, yeah, if they can come to a number that they both sides can agree with, hey, man, I'm good with it. So get him out the way and get him out of the way early so that he doesn't present a problem down the road, because we've been there before, too. Yeah, but so far, so good, man. On the WrestleMania front, man, it's shaping up to look good. The Rock, man, is doing his thing, and John Cena, he's a heel on it now, man. So I guess I can't see him anymore, man. So it's going
to
be something.
Well, one would argue that you haven't been able to see him for a long time, right? I mean, you can't see me,
exactly,
right?
That's the move, though.
Yeah. I will tell you this. I was not I was expecting John Cena to win an Elimination Chamber. I was not expecting to turn him heel. I thought that he would win Elimination Chamber after, like, Roman Reigns, like, interfered or right. somehow got involved, and that would spur, like, you know, Roman Reigns versus The Rock or somehow, you know, I don't know why I didn't give it enough thought that John Cena would actually turn bad in his walk-off year. I mean, if you think about it, there's a more than legitimate chance that John Cena retires as, you know, a hated heel, which is crazy to think about after all these years.
Yeah, he won't be able to show his face back around if that happens. Yep. But other than that, that's all I got for you, Rooster.
All right, Jonesy. Thank you, pal. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Coming up for Dumb Dumb of the Day. Hey, Mac, do you like breakfast food?
Oh, yeah. Big breakfast guy.
Are you a pancake guy?
They're cool.
All right. I'm going to have a story about pancakes for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
What a tease.
Just a little tease. You'll see what I mean. You more have to see the story to see what I mean, but I'll describe it as best as I can. But that's a little less than a half an hour away. All right. I wanted to do this real quickly. So looking at what else they can do, right, and how else they can improve the wide receiver room. We know that they have four of their own that are free agents. Tiami Brown, Noah Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, and Jamison Crowder. I would imagine Olamide Zaccheaus is coming back. I would think that they still see a lot of good things in Noah Brown despite his constant injury situation. I don't think that they will, I could be wrong, pay Diami Brown what he's probably going to get on the open market. Again, no T. Higgins on the open market. There's a bunch of, quite honestly, you know, guys that are not really my cup of tea, if I'm being totally honest with you, right? But I can understand that, like, maybe players are viewed differently for different reasons. And maybe you want to bring in a Keenan Allen to tutor some young receivers, right? Maybe, I'm trying to think of a situation. You know, maybe the Giants want to bring in a Keenan Allen to help continue the ascent of Malik Nabers, who's a fiery, competitive guy. The bottom line is, in my opinion, there isn't a lot of absolute, surefire, no doubt about it help at wide receiver that isn't either costly, i.e. potentially Davante Adams, or significant questions, Stephon Diggs, personality and injury and age, 32. There just isn't. And with T. Higgins off the board, you kind of wonder, okay, what else is out there that we could kind of hone in on? Well, people say, well, Chris Godwin. Well, Chris Godwin's coming off of a somewhat significant injury. He's 29. He's smaller and diminutive. He's good. He's shifty. Probably better inside than outside. Isn't Debo probably better inside than outside? I don't know if Chris Godwin is a fit here. I've never been an Amari Cooper guy. Never been in on him. But he's available. Hell no on Deontay Johnson. Screw that. No chance. Robert Woods always hurt. Now, Darius Slayton is a guy that I admit I may be sleeping on. AMAC, you're a Giants fan.
Mm-hmm. I certainly am.
Darius Slayton is a guy that, you know, I could see not breaking the bank, but if he was making, what was he making, $6+ million?
Somewhere around there. I can't be certain.
Yeah, I think it was about $6 million. You know, six-year vet, still 28 years old. Let me pull up his numbers from last year. And again, Malik Nabers obviously took away a lot of attention. 39, a terrible quarterback situation, terrible offensive line, terrible everything. 39 catches, 573 yards, almost 15 yards per catch, and two touchdowns. You know that's going to get you. If he was making $6 million a year last year, don't you think Darius Slayton's going to get $12 million a year this year? I think so. Maybe more.
He had some big games last year, too, where he stepped up and Malik was out for like two or three games, I want to say, last year. He had a big game, Darius Slayton, that is. Had a big game against Seattle where he got over 100 yards, a couple of touchdowns.
Right.
So he's not a number one for sure.
No,
but can come
but he
in.
Wouldn't have to be here.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And maybe he wants to show the Giants in the division twice a year. I mean, you know, that's what free agency allows you to do, right? The guy that I keep kind of wondering about, and listen, I'm not talking about a long-term deal. I'm talking about a guy that certainly has benefited from playing with a great quarterback. But if you look at somebody that, again, can be a piece of the puzzle, that's all they're looking for, a piece of the puzzle. Mac Hollins, to me, is a guy that kind of stands out as somebody that they would be interested in. Only 31 catches last year, 378 yards, 12-2 average, but five touchdowns. Now, Mac Hollins, I mean, look, I didn't realize he was that old. He's 32, but he's 6'4", 220. I know he can block on the edge. I would not dismiss Mac Hollins, the dude that walks in barefoot. And it's not because of that. But I would not dismiss Mac Hollins. I'm not saying I would, but I would not dismiss him. All right, just a couple of ideas. We will try and get to some more as we go, obviously, throughout. I wanted to spend a couple of minutes on both the Nats and Charlie Lindgren and the Capitals when we return to close out the show right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey M. All right, so as we told you about an hour ago, Pat McAfee, the first to report this, the Philadelphia Eagles, with 2 years left to go on Saquon Barkley's initial contract with them, have rewarded him with a two-year $41.2 million extension, highest-paid running back now in NFL history, $36 million guaranteed at signing, and he's the first NFL running back, $20 million plus per year. Also can get another $15 million in incentives and escalators for Saquon Barkley, who in 1 year topped the 2,000-yard mark and as well won a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. So congratulations to him. Meanwhile, an interesting trade here. Last offseason, the Los Angeles Rams signed Jonah Jackson, a guard, to a long-term lucrative contract, 3-year deal. Well, they just traded him. He was given permission to seek a trade earlier this offseason. They get a 2025 sixth-round pick back from the Chicago Bears, where he reunites with Ben Johnson, who's their new head coach. Jackson, 28, started 61 games over the last 5 years, was a Pro Bowler in 2021. So the Bears bolstering their offensive line. The Jets have officially cut Devontae Adams with 2 years left. I shouldn't say officially. According to Adam Schefter, they are going to release Devontae Adams, which was expected. He had a two-year $36 million average per year left on his deal after the trade in October last year with the Vegas Raiders, which cost the Jets a third-round pick. So it looks like it is less than one and done for the 32-year-old Devontae Adams, and certainly is one of those receivers that we just talked about. And finally, Pete Rose, who has passed away a couple of months ago at the end of September. He, apparently, while his family continues to fight for his enshrinement in the Hall of Fame, he believed, quote, that I'll make the Hall of Fame after I die. Said that in an interview with a television sportscaster in Dayton, Ohio on September the 20th, 10 days before he passed. And that's what's trending. All right, wrapping up the show here on a busy back-to-work Tuesday. wanted to get a couple of minutes here on the Nationals and then the Capitals with Charlie Lindgren. And also they debuted their new cherry blossom uniforms, which I know excites a lot of people. And actually, I'll be honest with you, I kind of like them. So here's the deal. Listen, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, the Nationals ownership group, the Lerner family, has been considered financially conservative, is the nice way I could say it. Even when they were at the absolute top of, like, spent, or not absolute top, but in the range of one of the top spending teams and aggressive and spending money on free agents and trying to do things to win a championship. Everybody should remember that the Max Scherzer deal was half deferred. Half deferred. They signed him for $210 million on a seven-year deal. $105 million of it, or roughly $15 million per year, was deferred until starting last year and running for 7 years afterwards. Like, Max is long gone, as we all know, and the Nationals are paying him $15 million per year. Because instead of paying the true market value then, they said, nah, you know, if we can get these guys to sign to get paid deferred no interest, why do we have to give them the money now? We can invest that money on our own, right? In our own coffers, in our own, you know, stock markets and whatever. And we can grow that money that we owe in maybe safe, maybe conservative, higher-end investment funds. And we can make money, or instead of owing $105 million, which, again, was like half of that deal, now, because we invested that money, presumably, I assume, we made, I don't know, $90 million. And I'm just using a number. Maybe it's not much. Maybe it's not $90 million. Maybe it's $50 million, whatever it is. But now we owe less than half of what we thought we owed by investing it and taking deferred contracts, right? I mean, that's what they were doing. I mean, I don't know about the investment part, but that could be the only thing that makes sense. Why would they just sit around and not pay that money then and not invest that money and put it aside and try and lower the cost of what they actually owed? So while that's a little high in the weeds, and I get it, they still owe, again, Max Scherzer $15 million. They still owe Steven Strasburg a lot of money. But that was because of a new deal that they did after the 2019 season, which is still in the process. The Max Scherzer deal was different. But you know what wasn't different? When Steven Strasburg first did his contract extension, I think it was like 7 years and $175 million. And I think this was back in 2016, I want to say. And he opted out of it after the 2019 World Series year to get more money and to get a better and more lucrative deal, which is what we're involved with here. But the bottom line is that at least was a deal that they were still expecting Steven Strasburg, when they signed that deal, to be around long term. When they did Max Scherzer, they expected him to be around long term, and he was, and they traded him in the final year of the deal. But what they probably weren't almost surely not expecting was for the Strasburg deal to blow up in their face and to still have to obviously pay Scherzer long after he's gone. Long after he's gone. Okay? So that's part of it. Now, that has led to, obviously, them having to be a little bit more conservative in terms of how they operate, right? Like, if again, you're paying out of pocket, out of your coffers, Max Scherzer, $15 million per year in 2023. If you're doing that, isn't that going to affect how much money you spend on your current roster? Of course it is. Long story short, if you don't have the money that you invested, meaning if you didn't invest that and, say, made, I don't know, $80 million of the $105 million that you owe Max Scherzer, if you don't have that, then you're stuck paying $105 million out of your own, again, coffers. But on top of that, right, what you're also dealing with is trying to rebuild this major league roster around a bunch of young guys with a bunch of financial, frugally conservative type players, Josh Bells and, you know, all that, letting Kyle Finnegan walk, test the market. We won, we gambled, we got him back. Okay. Not paying James Wood, not paying Dylan Cruz anything really legitimately. I mean, they're paying him, but not anything legitimate. Not really being active in free agency, so on and so. I mean, they were active in free agency, but it was a lot of, you know, 9-to-5 nickel and dime, ham and egg type moves, right? I mean, that's what it was. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, Nathaniel Lowe, 1 year, $10.3 million. Michael Soroka, 1 year, $9 million. Trevor Williams, 2 years, $14 million. Josh Bell, 1 year, $6 million. And again, they're paying these guys. It's not like they're not paying them. But, I mean, these are all relatively affordable deals. So, anyway, long story short, they were doing this without having the Masson money, without and dealing with all the litigation there, without having a jersey patch sponsorship, without having a stadium naming rights sponsorship. And the reason for that was they wanted whatever price they set on the jersey patch and the stadium is what they wanted. The reason why they're holding on to the team right now is because they realized how complicated a sale process was until the Masson dispute was resolved, which now it's resolved. So now I would expect at some point fairly soon, you're going to hear, hey, the Nationals are back in business, taking offers. Let's see what happens. I would presume. I would be very surprised if that doesn't happen. Can't guarantee it, but very surprised if it doesn't happen. But they refused to bring in the extra revenue that so many other teams have brought in through jersey patch sponsorship, through naming rights of the stadium, through in lieu of the television money that they weren't getting. Or they were getting a way, 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 way smaller amount than they should have been getting. My point being is the Lerners have done things so out of the box. The deferred contracts, they were really the first to do not deferred contracts, but deferred contracts with no interest. Remember the Mets did a debacle of a deferred contract with Bobby Bonilla, and everybody celebrates Bobby Bonilla Day on July 1st. The Nationals were able to get these guys to defer all of their money or a lot of their money, Strasburg, Scherzer, other guys, with no interest. So that was smart of them. But the problem is I think that caught up to them in negotiations for Harper, Rendon, others. I remember one time they were going after Kenley Jansen when he was a top closer, and they wanted him to take a lot of deferred money, and he said no. And I think he went back to the Dodgers. There was a second baseman they were targeting. They didn't get him. He played for the Cubs at some point. I think he came from the Twins. I can't remember. And he said no. Zobrist, Ben Zobrist. What was that? Yep. So the bottom line is the Nationals have done things very strangely over many years. That doesn't mean that they're absolutely wrong, but they've done things very strangely. And yet, Now it looks like they're going to get the naming rights to the stadium at some point, although I don't think that'll be as easy as others think it will, and a jersey patch and extra revenue and whatever extra revenue they get paid or money that they don't have from Masson, and then they will get their own TV rights for the 2026 season. And finally, maybe in a couple of years, everything won't be nickeling, diming, ham and egging, and trying to do a $4.99 breakfast special when everyone else is paying or charging $8.99. That's the long and the short of it. There's more to it. Obviously, just don't have enough time, but I wanted to get that in. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Speaking of $4.99 breakfasts and pancakes, you'll hear next what we mean. Dum-dum of the day next. All right, we got to go quick here. Dum-dum of the day before Craig Hoffman takes you the rest of the way on your Tuesday afternoon. Dateline today, London from the Associated Press. People, racers, dressed as a skyscraper, a beekeeper, a chest of drawers. Among dozens of runners in zany costumes running around central London, not just with their stupid costumes, but instead with a frying pan in hand. Why? To celebrate what they call Shrove Tuesday or Pancake Day. So you have all these weirdos in all of these weird costumes thinking it's Halloween, running around with frying pans to celebrate Pancake Day. Hundreds of people packed into Guildhall Yard, whatever that is, cheering the runners and participants while they were tossing pancakes in their frying pans. It marks the day before the start of Lent. So I guess it's for sort of a reason that is historical and whatever. But I will just tell you this. A, nobody should be eating those pancakes. And B, please find something better to do with your life and your free time than running around in weird-ass costumes and pancakes. Please! Whatever the reason is, I don't buy any of it. Please find something else to do. Help a charity out. Help Best Buddies out. Listen to the radio. Listen to the Odyssey app. Thanks to AMAC on the other side of the glass. Thanks to you guys for being with us. Back tomorrow at 1. Craig Hoffman next. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.